Welcome back. 7 past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network. Bill Meyer joined by author, college professor, and family therapist, Dr. Linda Mintzel. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Bill. Great to talk to you.
I understand that you were invited to the Christian Inaugural Ball in Washington, D.C. I got to know about that event and what you experienced there.
Well, it turned out to be quite an amazing event. Of course, I got to see one of my heroes, Dr. Ben Carson, and had a moment to talk to him for just a few moments because people were, as you could guess, just grabbing him and talking to him. But I have been at dinner with him before and actually have met him a couple other times. And so just so excited to have him be part of the new administration, a man I just so admire in so many levels, and particularly for not only his brilliance as a neurosurgeon, but his walk with God, which seems to be so solid, and he seems to be such a man of integrity. But, you know, balls are kind of interesting because you think of them as these very, you know, celebratory thing, which they are, and great food, and you get to see people and kind of hobnob at these things. But I tell you, Bill, what I wasn't prepared for and was so pleasantly surprised about was the spiritual atmosphere in this large ballroom that we were in terms of how it was that entire night from a spiritual perspective. So there were well-known singers and speakers, and Alveda King was one of the highlights for me because she really pulled the crowd about that racism is anti-Christ and we cannot go there. And of course, I love the writings that she usually puts out on the Christian response to violence and hate and all the things that her uncle stood for. But the big surprising thing to me was that the theme of the ball, the thing that people had been hearing, there were Christian leaders from all over the country there, people that had been praying, people that had been involved in the prayer movement around an election. They were saying that they felt that this was mercy, that God's word for this year was he's given us mercy, and that mercy triumphs over judgment. And the more I thought about that, I thought, you know, America deserves judgment in terms of how we've taken a position on so many moral issues that are wrong and other issues, our relationship with Israel that's been very weak in the past years, as you were talking about before. But we deserve judgment based on a lot of things that we have done, and yet God's word was mercy, mercy, mercy. And I thought this is such a call to the Christians to exercise mercy and begin to turn to back to God and to turn to the things of God that are so important. And so there was just this electric atmosphere in this room. And we were in the room, the same room. It was the hotel where Reagan was shot. And we were in the same room where one of the first prayer breakfasts is going to be. And we actually prayed over that room. And tried to sort of set the atmosphere for the Spirit of God to be present and to be moving in the people that may come into that room that will listen to God and will hear what God wants to do. So to me, it was that verse in Chronicles, if we humble ourselves and pray, then God is going to do amazing things, at least on the spiritual level. And hopefully that will, you know, be part of the political and the governmental level as well. So we came away just so encouraged by and so optimistic, and this was so important given all the media around this event, which was so negative and naysaying and depressing and fear-based and, you know, just everything that we would see in a headline. I stopped reading the headlines the day after because I just couldn't take what I was reading because it was so vitriolic and just, you know, we're coming after you and this isn't going to, we're going to show that you're not legit. It was just awful. But in that room with all those people gathered, there was a sense of optimism, and our optimism is in the Lord and what the Lord can do if we just listen to him and we obey.
You know, as you were describing the people in that room praying for the administration, praying for that first prayer breakfast and God moving in the administration, my goosebumps were getting goosebumps, Linda. That was beautiful.
Yeah. And you know what? There wasn't one negative word about anybody else that lost, or past presidents or people in past administrations. There was not one negative word. All there was this love, this call to action to unity, call to action to can we get it right? Is God giving us another chance? He is giving us another chance to humble ourselves and to pray and get on our knees and to start listening to the voice of God and applying His word to our lives. And so, wow, from all those thousands of people, what an encouraging thing to witness and to see. There's, you know, that was my hope. My hope is always in the Lord. But when you have moments where you actually see that in a corporate body of people who came together in unity, it was just astounding, Bill. It was great.
You actually posted a great article on your blog discussing how Christians should respond to some of the hateful things that are being said about Trump by the left. We talked about earlier about Madonna, you know, talking about bombing the White House. Mm-hmm. And what are you encouraging believers to do, Linda?
Well, you know, I thought about this. I was driving in this morning to work, and I was listening to the news. I always listen to headline news and different news groups on the way in. And there was a story about a woman and a man on an airplane this morning. I think it was a man that was sitting next to her, but it was a woman I know that was talking. And he was a Trump supporter. And the woman did not like that he was a Trump supporter. So she started arguing with him. And I think she was asking him why he didn't believe in climate change and all this kind of stuff. And she was getting very angry. And she grabbed the flight attendant and said, "I want this man's seat changed, because I don't want to sit next to him on this flight."
Oh, my goodness.
And apparently she got really out of control and really angry and hostile. And they ended up, the police ended up escorting her off of the plane. And the crowd in the plane started clapping and chanting USA.
Oh, my goodness.
So we're going to see things like this, I think, over and over again. And, you know, I was thinking, if I was that man on that plane that she was doing that to, what would my reaction be? You know, would I become argumentative? Would I start slandering her back? Would I show the love of Christ and just love her and, you know, speak calmly to her and speak the truth in love, but not return hate for hate? And I think that's going to be the challenge for Christians. We're actually going to have to live out what the scripture says on a day-to-day basis, because I think the attacks and the hostility is only going to increase. Because, you know, we don't talk about this, Bill, but we are not just warring against flesh and blood. This is principalities and powers. And there is a war, and I'm trying to keep mindful of the fact that there are spiritual forces here. So while I need to have my actions line up to what the Bible says. And I was reading this morning in James, because I'm studying James and teaching a millennial class on James, and it just struck me, verse 26 in chapter 1, "If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless." And I thought, boy, God is really calling us to bridle our tongue. And, you know, James 3 talks a lot about how the tongue is a consuming fire. It's untamed. And you really do need the power of the Holy Spirit working in you when people come at you, when they attack you, when they say negative things. And let me talk to the Christians for a moment. The Christians shouldn't be on social media saying terrible and awful things as well to the opposition. So this is going to be a test of our faith. And I love the quote from Martin Luther King, because I just think it's such a powerful one, where he says, "Love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend." And so the call is that it's now the time to model that love, to walk in humility, as the Bible talks to us, it tells us to do. It tells us that in Micah as well. And we need to be civil towards one another, whether you like or hated the outcome of this election. We've had enough of these verbal attacks. There's going to be plenty of negative messaging. You're going to see that 24/7. And we have to remember that mercy triumphs over judgment. So we, the people of God, need to behave differently, and we need to stand out from the crowd, just like the people did in the Civil Rights Day, where they were hated and there was violence towards them and they were coming after them. And Martin Luther King said, "No, love, nonviolence, love is the way." It's not the same. I don't want to equate this with the Civil Rights Movement, but our response to that hatred needs to be the same, where we need to have words of love and do what 1 Peter 2:12 says, keep our conduct honorable.
Great challenge for all of us. And as you said, we're going to need the Holy Spirit's power to do that, because in our human strength, We are going to tend to respond defensively, especially if we're backed into a corner. We need God's help every time we are in a situation like that of conflict. Dr. Linda Wimental is our guest. We'll take a quick break and be right back here at Faith Radio. Welcome back. 20 minutes past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network. It's Bill Meyer with Dr. Linda Wimental. By the way, we're going to open up our phone lines if you would like to interact with Linda, if you've got a question for her regarding the way that Christians should respond to some of the attacks that we are seeing on Donald Trump, or even a general relationship question for Linda. After all, she is a family therapist. She'd be happy to take your call. The number is 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-FAITH. Linda, along the lines of conflict, you recently tackled an important topic involving the church on your blog, and you expressed a concern about how complaints and taking offense over petty things are starting to become more and more prevalent in our churches. In fact, tell us about the gluten-free communion bread controversy.
Well, I have to tell you now, that's one of the complaints that pastors are hearing more and more about. But I talked about it on another show, and I got some mail from people saying, please understand the sensitivity that my child has. And I totally get that. I totally understand that there are people who, if they, you know, they have celiac disease or they have some other allergy towards gluten, that that's a problem, and churches need to be sensitive to that. The point of that was people are fighting over so many things in churches. I think the most extraordinary one to me was the people that got mad because the church offered a potluck, and they didn't like it because the word luck was in the word potluck, and they felt the church was supporting magical things. And so poor pastors who have to deal with these constant complaints. And I want to broaden that, Bill, and say that I think that has to do with, you know, the larger culture really influencing us, because it is related to what we were just talking about, where on social media especially, and in the news, and we use, you know, the way we can see everything so instant and 24/7, what gets people interested is negativity. And so we've almost had this sort of conditioned response of when we don't like something, just putting it out there and just telling people this is wrong and we don't like this and this is our response. And then there's no accountability, of course, for what we say. Well, think about that in the church. There's been much more of a conditioned response. And I think this is because, again, we're dealing not so much with the essentials of the faith in these complaints, because those are very important to make sure that you're having conversations and dealing with conflict with your pastoral staff. But we're talking about people's preferences, their wishes, their desires. The church is not a consumer group. And so we tend to take that attitude in to, I think, the church, where, you know, in the church, we're starting to think like we do with our iPhones. Well, we can customize everything we want. We can make it individualized. We can do everything. We can change the color. We can change the font. We can put our music on. We can have our ring. I'm beginning to think we're thinking of the church like that. I want this music. I want this, you know, pastor doing this. I don't like the color of the carpet. Why are those people up there in the dark? You know, could you please tell them to cut their beards? It doesn't look good.
Oh.
Why are we singing that song 100 times? You know, my brother is a pastor, and he's a pastor over a bunch of pastors. And he has told me stories that would, I probably should not repeat, but would make your hair raise on what people are leaving the church over. And these fights and this refusal in a lot of ways to deal with offense in a biblical manner, which is what we started this time with, where we do Matthew 18, where we go to the person, we deal with this. But I think we have to recognize first, is this just a preference I have, an opinion that I have, or is it really something in the church that I have to go to the pastor for and we have to have some very maybe difficult conversations? I'm not saying don't ever do that, but I'm saying think, pause before you go and you take this kind of stuff and look at what it is you're fighting over. Is it really something that you should be fighting over in the church?
Oh, I love it. Some great advice for all of us. Linda, we do have a call for you. Joey from Columbia Heights, Minnesota, has a question for Dr. Linda. Hi, Joey. How are you? Go ahead, Joey.
Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning.
Yeah, my question is regarding, I've lost my...
Oops, I think we lost Joey. Joey, you still there? I think he's cutting out. Linda, his question was how to deal with anxiety in his workplace. So if you would respond to that, he's listening on Faith 90.7 in the Twin Cities and experiencing some anxiety at work.
Yeah, I wish I would know, is it related to the Trump thing or is it just general anxiety? So we don't know that. So I'm just going to go general. And maybe it does have to do with, at times, some of the people who are like the person on the plane, their positions are not popular and they're feeling anxious about what to say. But anxiety, the root of anxiety is at most of the time when it's dealing with our thoughts, has to do with doubting God, doubting what is, that God is in control, that God is there to help us, that God will get us through. And one of the reasons we begin to worry and we begin to get anxious, now there's a lot of other issues involved. Some people are more predisposed to anxiety. Some people have low tolerance to frustration. They're just genetically born that way. Some people have real life situations. This man may have had some terrible things happen to him in the workplace that is generally causing this anxiety. But where you can get control is you can get control in your thoughts. And in your thoughts, you can begin to, you know, anxiety is prompted by things like, I'm going to get fired, or this is going to be terrible, or my boss is coming after me, or people don't like me, or I'm in the minority, whatever it is that's causing that anxiety to continue to rev up. You can take control of those thoughts. And that's where taking a thought captive comes in our life, where we use scripture, where we recognize that the thought is a maybe anxious thought. But I would encourage every believer to go look at that thought. And if you take that thought captive, if you confine it, and you say to yourself, God is in control. God is working for me. God sees this situation. God has my back. No matter what happens, his presence is going to be with me, and he's going to give me what I need to get through this situation. You can calm down that anxiety and go in the confidence that God is going to work for you and give you what you need for any moment when you may have to speak or talk or deal with a difficult situation.
The Bible talks about the renewing of our minds and putting on the mind of Christ, and that's exactly what Linda is talking about. Some great advice, Linda. Thank you so much for your time this morning. I want to encourage you to check out Linda's website and her blog. You will be challenged. You will be encouraged. I just love the way you bring scripture into your practice and your teaching, Linda. So thank you so much for your time today.
Hey, have a great week, Bill. Thanks so much.